Yes, Julie Mayer here with more fun with music while the cap's away. In today's programme, we'll be giving out the results of last week's competition, reading out your birthday greetings, and Judy Dench will be telling the story of Peter and the Wolf with the help of the BBC Concert Orchestra. And today, the conductor of the orchestra, Barry Wordsworth, has joined me in the studio. Welcome, Barry.
Hi, Julie.
Now, everyone's familiar with the conductor standing in front of the orchestra, waving his baton about. What are conductors really doing there?
Well, I suppose the thing is that you have to set the tempo for the piece, because all pieces of music could go at a variety of speeds, so the conductor's really the person who chooses the tempo that he wants. But, of course, before the audience ever see the conductor at work, he's done lots of work with the orchestra, preparing, rehearsing the piece. That's basically what it's about.
Now, even though the musicians have the music in front of them, what are they looking for when they're watching you?
Well, it's very seldom that an orchestra will know a piece well enough for the musicians to have it really from memory, so they've actually, as you say, they've got to read the music that's on the music stands. But they put the music stands in such a way that they can also, out of the corner of their eyes, they can see the conductor just when those moments when they need to. And they find out in rehearsal where they really need to be able to watch. They might even have to remember a little bit of the music so they can give the conductor their full attention. And the rest of the time, they just see him out of the corner of their eye.
What about when you were a young boy? Did you stand in front of the wireless waving a knitting needle, or did you want to do something else when you grew up?
No, I think I've always wanted to be a musician. You see, I started to play when I was about seven. I started to play the piano then. Fairly soon on, I thought, well, it must be wonderful to conduct, and got some friends together, and we made small orchestra and choirs and things. And yeah, I suppose I started when I was about 14. Sounds very precocious, doesn't it? But it was good fun.
Well, I would imagine you enjoy it now. How did you actually become a conductor?
Well, I stopped studying when I was about 21 and played piano and harpsichord for a couple of years. And by doing that, I was asked if I would like to conduct for the Royal Ballet. And that's really what started me off in a serious sort of way.
Well, you're now responsible for conducting Peter and the Wolf. Tell us a little bit about the music that was used in the story.
Well, I think it's a wonderful score. It's written by Prokofiev. Prokofiev was a Russian composer, but we don't have to worry about that because the story has been translated into English, so you'll all understand what's going on. And as Judy Dench tells the story, so you'll hear the various instruments associated with the characters of the orchestra being played in the background. It's rather like she's telling the story and the orchestra's also telling it alongside her.
This is the story of Peter and the Wolf. Each character in the story is played by a different instrument of the orchestra. The bird by the flute. The duck by the oboe. The cat by the clarinet. The grandfather by the bassoon. The wolf by three horns. Peter by the strings. And the rifle shots by the big drum. Now we've met the different characters, our story can begin. Early one morning, Peter opened the gate and went out into the big green meadow. On a branch of a big tree sat a little bird, Peter's friend. All is quiet, chirped the bird gaily. Just then, a duck came waddling round. She was glad that Peter hadn't closed the gate and decided to take a swim in the deep pond in the meadow. Seeing the duck, the little bird flew down onto the grass, settled next to her, and shrugged his shoulders. "What kind of a bird are you if you can't fly?" he said. To this the duck replied, "What kind of a bird are you if you can't swim?" and dived into the pond. They argued and argued, the duck swimming in the pond, little bird hopping along the shore. Suddenly, something caught Peter's attention. He noticed a cat crawling through the grass. Cat thought, "The bird is busy arguing. I'll just grab him." Stealthily, she crept towards him on her velvet paws. "Look out!" shouted Peter, and the bird immediately flew up into the tree. The duck quacked angrily at the cat. From the middle of the pond, the cat walked round the tree and thought, "Is it worth climbing up so high? By the time I get there, the bird will have flown away." Grandfather came out. He was angry because Peter had gone into the meadow. "It's a dangerous place. If a wolf should come out of the forest, then what would you do?" Peter paid no attention to his grandfather's words. Boys like him aren't afraid of wolves. But grandfather took Peter by the hand, locked the gate, and led him home. No sooner had Peter gone than a big grey wolf did come out of the forest. In a twinkling, the cat climbed up the tree. The duck quacked, and in her excitement, jumped out of the pond. No matter how hard the duck tried to run, she couldn't escape the wolf. He was getting nearer, nearer, catching up with her. And then he got her, and with one gulp, swallowed her. In the meantime, Peter, without the slightest fear, stood behind the closed gate, watching all that was going on. He ran home, fetched a strong rope, and climbed up the high stone wall. One of the branches of the tree, round which the wolf was walking, stretched out over the wall. Grabbing hold of the branch, Peter lightly climbed over onto the tree. He said to the bird, "Fly down and circle round the wolf's head. Only take care that he doesn't catch you." Meanwhile, Peter made a lasso, and carefully letting it down, caught the wolf by the tail and pulled with all his might. ¶¶ himself caught, the wolf began to jump wildly, trying to get loose. But Peter tied the other end of the rope to the tree. And the wolf's jumping only made the rope around his tail tighter. Just then, the hunters came out of the woods, following the wolf's trail and shooting as they went. Peter, sitting in the tree, said, "Don't shoot! The bird and I have caught the wolf. Help us to take him to the zoo." Imagine the triumphant procession. Peter at the head. After him, the hunters leading the wolf. Winding up the procession, Grandfather and the cat. Grandfather tossed his head discontentedly.
"Well, and if Peter hadn't caught the wolf, what then?"
Thank you. flew the bird chirping merrily. How brave we are, Peter and I. Look what we've caught. And if you'd listened very carefully, you'd have heard the duck quacking in wolf. In his hurry, the wolf had swallowed her.
And that lovely story about Peter and the Wolf was told by Judy Dench with the BBC Concert Orchestra, conducted by Barry Wordsworth. Barry, what's it been like recording these stories? It must have been great fun. The music's so lovely.
It's a lovely, colourful score. It's very well written for the orchestra, so all the members of the orchestra really enjoyed playing it. Yeah, we had a great time recording this piece.
Great. And now you have some questions for this week's competition about today's story.
Yes, I do, Judy. There are three questions. And now you've heard the piece, we want you to tell us which instruments of the orchestra are associated with characters. Now, firstly, which instruments of the orchestra are associated with Peter? Second question is, and this is one instrument now, which instrument is associated with the cat? And thirdly, which instruments are associated with the wolf?
I hope you were listening carefully to our story today. Those questions again. What instruments played the parts of Peter, the cat, and the wolf? Put your entries on a postcard, postcards only, please, and post them as soon as possible. I'll give the address later in the programme. Barry, do you think more could be done to encourage children to enjoy music?
Well, I think it's already a great deal better than it was when I was a lad. Most schools now seem to have very good music departments, and a lot of children are getting very involved in music at an early age. And, of course, the earlier the better. It doesn't really matter whether you're thinking of taking music up as a career or not. It's just a wonderful thing later to have the ability to play instruments. It's a lovely social thing. You make lots of friends through music. I think it's very true to say that people who play instruments, however badly, get more out of listening to music than people that don't.
Do you find it particularly exciting to play to a young audience?
Well, I do, and I tell you why. I think we can all remember hearing a particular piece of music for the very first time. Unfortunately, as you get older, that experience happens less and less often, because as you know more and more music, what happens is that you're listening to the same pieces again and again, and that's rather different. But it's that initial excitement of hearing something for the very first time. I can remember hearing a piece of Beethoven when I was about 9 years old, and it's remained a firm favourite of mine for the rest of my life. So I always like to think that when I'm playing to a young audience, that there are people out there who are hearing these pieces for the first time and getting as excited as I used to. And so because of that, I've just made a CD of pieces that are particularly for young audiences, and I'd like you to hear one now. It's from The Carnival of the Animals by Saint-Saëns, and it's the movement called The Fossils, and it particularly features the percussion section of the orchestra, and in particular, the xylophone. Thank you.
was a piece called Fossils from the Carnival of the Animals, played by the London Symphony Orchestra and conducted by my guest Barry Wordsworth. And now for the results of last week's competition. We asked you to tell us what music means to you. The three winners of the Eyewitness Guides to Music go to 6-year-old Joel Wilkinson from Dorset. I like listening to music because it's like hearing dreams.
And the second winner is Owen Plummer from Andover. Owen, you sent us a wonderful card with Dennis the Menace and his dog Gnasher on the front. And you say, I think the last piece of music... Now, I suppose that refers to our signature tune. I think the last piece of music reminds me of Eric the Viking sailing over the waves into the sunset.
And the final winner is 7-year-old Daniel Savage from Surrey. He says, music makes me dance. Military music makes me feel sad because I think of Grandad who died. That's lovely. And now, Barry, perhaps you'll help me read out this week's birthday greetings. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to Anna Saley, Joanne Jarvis, Abigail Mann and Andrew Frayne.
Charles Johnson, Tristan Wooler, Stephen Engert, Simon Williams.
Happy birthday to Matthew Oliver, Neil Halliday, Joshua Robson and Kirsty Stark.
Alexander Allen, Oscar Yeadon, Debbie Ludwig, Christopher McStee.
Jane Cattermole, David Kellett, Nadia Parsons and Joanna Tomsett.
Simon Parsons, Sarah Jones, Sean Haywood, Sam Steed.
And best wishes to Emily Turton, Hilary Bryans, Diane Perkins and Sarah Price.
Philip Clark, Kate Beams, Elizabeth Bond, Martin Leggett.
All the best to Gareth Rudge, Rebecca Vaughan and Shelley Waddington.
And happy birthday Tessa Robson, Fingal Dorman, Robert Pridham.
And finally Sam Wadling and Laura Dubell. Thank you, Barry. And next week, you'll be conducting the last of our stories in this series.
Yes, that's right, and I'll be joined by Michael Horden, who tells the story of the Midas Touch.
We'll have the results of this week's competition, your birthday greetings, and we're going to Yorkshire to visit the National Children's Orchestra. And there's just time to tell you that tomorrow and all week, the Radio Goes to Town Big Top will be at the Corn Exchange in Ipswich. And on Tuesday, the 10th of April, Andy Crane will be there with the Cat's Whiskers Roadshow. If you'd like to meet Andy and the Cat's Whiskers team, come along to the Radio Goes to Town at Ipswich. They'd love to see you. And it's all free, and the shows are at 11:30 and 2:30 on Tuesday. Well, that's all we have time for. Remember to get those competition entries off as soon as you can. The address is Cat's Whiskers, P.O. Box 40, Manchester M601FR. Our thanks to Barry Wordsworth for joining us. Till next week, bye-bye.
And while the cat's away, the presenter is Julie Mayer. In Peter and the Wolf, Judy played by the BBC Concert Orchestra, conducted by Barry Wordsworth and led by Martin Loveday. Peter and the Wolf was produced by Brian Scott Hughes. The series producer is Julia Brooke. And the address to write to again is Cat's Whiskers Spring Special, BBC PO Box 40, Manchester M601FR. Before this week's edition of Bookshelf, you might like to know that the BBC Radio Collection includes the first two of C.S. Lewis' classic series, The Tales of Narnia. The last